From the studios of KUSP in Santa Cruz, California, I'm Gary Shapiro, and this is From the Bookshelf. Cary Elwes is my guest. Cary Elwes has appeared in many, many movies, plays, and TV shows. He was Robin Hood in Tights for Mel Brooks. He was Lawrence Gordon in Saw. And you saw him in Days of Thunder and From the Earth to the Moon and The X-Files. He was in Liar Liar and Hot Shots, Twister and Dracula. But whenever I see Cary Elwes, and probably whenever you see him, you think he's the guy from The Princess Bride. Now, more than 25 years later, Cary Elwes has written a book all about that classic film, As You Wish, Inconceivable Tales from the Making of The Princess Bride. Cary Elwes, welcome to From the Bookshelf.
Thank you.
And thank you for writing your book. It was a beautiful book, a very touching book, as well as amusing. I was especially touched by your stories about Andre the Giant.
Yes, he was one of a kind, and I miss him to this day.
I love that story when you were events surrounding when you're about to storm the castle scene.
Oh, sure. Well, that was my first day working with Andre, and he broke the ice, so to speak, by letting out a gas that can only be described as the gas of a giant. He definitely brought the entire production to a pretty grinding halt. It was very powerful and obviously very memorable for everyone who was present. And he definitely had us all laughing. I think when he was done, it was about a 15-second long cast. When it was done, Rob Reiner, the director, said, "Hey, Andre, are you okay?" And Andre said, I am now, boss." which shows you what a great sense of humor he has.
And Rob Reiner gave you some sort of moral guidance then.
He was basically, I couldn't stop laughing, along with many of the crew. And so I asked him to help me get through my getting over the giggles, which he did. He was wonderful. He's just a wonderful guy to work with. He really is a great director and has a real clear vision of the kinds of films he wants to make.
I was really struck by that he helped you to see Andre the Giant in a different light. Is that unique in your experience as an actor working in films that the director would, you know, take you aside?
No, the director's really there to help guide all the actors and the crew. And so, you know, whatever issue he or she faces, she has to be able to have the tools on hand to be able to deal with it. And even if it's something as silly as the giggles on the crew, when you know, you have all the people working for you unable to focus, you know. So, he's a wonderful guy to work with.
I imagine when you're working on, well, when you worked with Mel Brooks, that must be a set where there's a lot of laughter going on, since you're making a slapstick comedy.
Mel is that Mel enjoys the laughter and doesn't try to stop it. And he'd rather, I think he'd probably rather, he's good at holding in his own laugh, but he doesn't mind people laughing on while we're shooting.
Do you think of Mel as a great director as well as a great comedian?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look at his body of work. I mean, he's an extraordinary director, you know.
Yeah. Are there any directors that you've worked with more than once?
I don't think so. There are a few I'd like to. But
yeah. Yeah, I wonder if the experience, you know, I guess that's what I want to ask you about making The Princess Bride. Would you say that experience is, you know, the experience of making a movie, or is it unique to making The Princess Bride?
Well, I mean, I've worked on a lot of films that were great fun to make. This was unique in that we were all really like comrades. There were no egos on the set. We all sort of hung out together, sort of like an acting troupe on location. And we would have dinner in Rob's hotel room in the evening. So we really all bonded very quickly on the film. And I think you can see it on the screen, really. It's really there.
Oh, it's really an ensemble cast.
Yeah,
and it's such a memorable film. And I think when people see the film today, they might think, they'll see Mandy Patinkin or Robin Wright or Billy Crystal and say, wow, you know, I forgot that they were in this movie. But with you, you're very much associated with this film. I think when people see you, they think, oh, that's the guy from The Princess Bride. Is that all right with you?
Oh, it's totally fine with me. As I say in the book, I really, you know, I can think of worse things for an actor to have to deal with. And honestly, I think you're blessed as an actor to have anyone resonate with your work. And, you know, I'm very proud of the work that we all did on that film. I think I can speak for the whole cast when I say we're all very grateful that the film has done so well, you know, and that people have responded to it in the way that they have. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, it's been 25 years, a little bit more than 25 years now that the film was released, and you recall it so vividly. Did you keep a journal? Had you done a lot of writing before?
I had not done a lot of writing, and I didn't keep a journal. But I did have the help of the call sheets, which reminded me where I was. That was thanks to Mr. Norman Lear, our producer. And, you know, I was surprised at how good my memory was after 27 years. It's funny, when, you know, a place, a conversation, a setting, a scene can trigger your memory in ways that I didn't think possible. So I'm very grateful for that. It was such a fun experience. Like I said earlier on, I can barely remember a single day without laughter on that movie.
You hurt yourself when you were making that film.
Oh, I hurt myself a couple of times. quite a klutz on that film.
But you kept laughing? Sure.
You have to. Yeah. You know, I was nervous about the first accident. I broke my toe, and I thought that'll definitely replace me. That was in the first couple of weeks of filming. So I was a bit nervous about that. But Rob was very cool about it. The second one, I got hit on the head by Chris Guest by mistake with his sword.
Oh, yeah.
And that put me in the hospital.
In the hospital?
Just to get stitches.
Did they have to shave part of your head or anything?
Luckily not. They had a very good doctor on hand at the time who was able to do the stitches without shaving any hair.
How much of the hair that your character has is your hair?
Well, it's ironic. when you read the book, I talk about it. We decided, Rob and I, on the look for the character, and I wanted him to be have that little sort of Errol Flynn mustache and, you know, that little Ronald Coleman mustache. And then I also said, why don't we give him a ponytail? But I didn't have long enough hair at the time, and Rob liked the idea. So I had these little extensions sort of sewn into the back of my head. It's called a backfall, I think. It's very painful. They put it on with rubber bands. And it's ironic, the very last day of shooting, my hair grew to the exact right length.
that's funny. We're talking with Cary Elwes, and he's written a wonderful book called As You Wish, Inconceivable Tales from the Making of The Princess Bride. Cary Elwes, what were you doing before The Princess Bride?
I was trying to make a living as an actor, the same way I am now. I was shooting a lot of movies in England, I think, at the time. I shot my first film with Colin Firth, and then my second big movie was with Helena Bonham Carter. And it was that film that I did with Helena that Rob Reiner saw that made him want to cast me in The Princess Bride.
And you were already a fan of the book. You already knew the property.
I loved the book. I read it when I was 13. And I just found it charming and funny and intelligent and a real departure from all the kind of work that I normally associated with William Goldman, who's known primarily for All the President's Men and Marathon Man and Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. But he's a wonderful writer. It's his favorite piece of work, so I feel very proud to be a part of that. Alone, yeah.
So Rob Reiner saw you and immediately said, oh, that's our
Well, he came to meet me. I was shooting a film at the time, an independent film in Berlin, and he flew to Berlin from London to come meet with me, and that cemented the deal.
Do you remember that first meeting?
Oh, vividly, like yesterday. I was very nervous. I knew who he was, of course. I'd seen Spinal Tap quite a few times, and I obviously watched All in the Family as a kid. And he was charming and sweet and gracious, and we hit it off pretty much right away.
Were there other actors in competition for the part?
Oh, I'm sure there were. I wasn't privy to that. They don't normally tell. You know, nobody really sort of passes that information around.
Yeah.
Too much.
But he came all the way to Berlin to see you. So.
Huh?
He came all the way to Berlin to see you.
Yeah, I thought that was a good sign. It's rare that a director gets on a plane to see an actor. It's usually the other way around.
Right.
So it was nice, but I was shooting, as I said, I had a couple of weeks left on this little indie film I was making. And he came to Berlin, and about 10 days later I got the word that I'd been cast.
Whenever I watch the film and I see you when you're almost dead, and Billy Crystal and Carol Kane have their marvelous scene. I always wonder, how does Cary Elwes hold so still when those guys are so funny? And then I read your book. But
you found out that I was the dummy. Yes. Replaced by my dummy because I was laughing too much. Like I said, I can barely remember a day without laughter on this film. So that was a particularly silly day because we had Billy Crystal basically doing 3 hours of medieval Yiddish stand-up almost continuously. So not a lot of footage was usable. And I wasn't the only one laughing. The entire crew and Rob Ryan, everybody was laughing. It's just silliness.
Well, how much of what Billy Crystal does is actually in the script?
I think he eventually got round to doing a take that was fairly close and usable. It had some ad-libbing in it. But, you know, he didn't need much coaxing, but I think Rob wanted to see how far he could go. And Rob was the first person to be banished from the set because his laugh is very, very loud. His laugh can be heard in Detroit, as I like to say. And he loves Billy, obviously. And, of course, the sound department said, you know, they had to remove the director from the set.
Go away! What?
Are you the Miracle Max who worked for the king all those years?
The king's stinking son fired me. And thank you so much for bringing up such a painful subject. While you're at it, why don't you give me a nice paper cut and pour lemon juice on it? We're closed! Beat it, or I'll call the Brute Squad.
I'm on the Brute Squad.
You are the Brute Squad.
We need a miracle. It's very important.
Look, I'm retired. And besides, why would you want someone the king's stinking son fired? I might kill whoever you wanted me to miracle.
He's already dead.
He is, eh? I'll take a look. Bring him in. I've seen worse.
Sir?
Yes?
Sir?
Huh?
We're in a terrible rush.
Don't rush me, sonny. You rush a miracle, man, you get rotten miracles. You got money?
65.
I never worked for so little, except once, and that was a very noble cause.
This is noble, sir. His wife is crippled. Children are on the brink of starvation.
Are you a rotten liar?
I need him to help avenge my father, murdered these 20 years.
Your first story was better. Where's that bellows cram? He probably owes you money, huh? Well, I'll ask him.
He's dead, he can't talk.
Look who knows so much, huh? Well, it just so happens that your friend here is only mostly dead. There's a big difference between mostly dead and all dead. Please open his mouth. Now, mostly dead, he's slightly alive. Now, all dead, well, with all dead, there's usually only one thing that you can do.
What's that?
Go through his clothes and look for loose change. Hey! Hello in there! Hey, what's so important? What you got here, that's worth living for.
True love, you heard him? You could not ask for a more noble cause than that.
Yes, honey. True love is the greatest thing in the world. Except for a nice MLT, a mutton, lettuce, and tomato sandwich when the mutton is nice and lean and the tomato is ripe. They're so perky. I love that. But that's not what he said. He distinctly said to blave. And as we all know, to blave means to bluff. Huh? So you're probably playing cards and he cheated.
Witch.
I'm not a witch, I'm your wife. But after what you just said, I'm not even sure I want to be that anymore.
You never had it so good.
True love. He said true love, Matt.
Don't say my another God. Word, Valerie.
He's afraid. Ever since Prince Humperdinck fired him, his confidence is shattered.
Why'd you say that name? You promised me that you would never say that name.
What? Humperdinck? Humperdinck!
I'm
not
listening!
True love lies expiring, and you don't have the decency to say why you won't help!
Nobody's hearing nothing!
Humperdinck!
This is Buttercup's true love. If you heal him, he will stop Humperdinck's wedding.
Shut up! Wait. I make him bear the Humperdinck suffers?
Humiliations galore.
I did a lick, Daldanisha. That is a noble cause. Give me the 65. I'm on the job.
That's a miracle pill.
The chocolate coating makes it go down easier, but you have to wait 15 minutes for full potency. And you shouldn't go in swimming after for at least, what?
An hour.
Yeah, an hour.
A good hour. Yeah.
Thank you for everything.
Okay.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.
Think it'll work?
It would take a miracle.
Bye-bye.
Well, Cary Elwes, when I was reading your book, you inspired me to go back and watch a couple of Errol Flynn films so I could watch the sword fighting. And not only did I was struck by the sword fighting, but also by your portrayal, you know, how similar what you were doing was to Errol Flynn. Did you have Errol Flynn in mind as you were working?
I had a lot of people in mind. I asked Mr. Goldman what films he'd been inspired by, and he gave me a whole list of films that he grew up with and loved, and they included Douglas Fairbanks films, Errol Flynn films, Basil Rathbone films, you know, mostly your pirate films, Crimson Pirate, Black Pirate, Seahawk, Adventures of Robin Hood, that kind of stuff, great stuff. And so, I downloaded all of that into my brain, brought it with me to work, you know.
But hopefully just you only absorbed Errol Flynn's performance style rather than his lifestyle.
Well, No, I don't. I was inspired by these actors in the way that they portrayed their roles.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about that, the sword fighting and all that went into preparing for that sword fight.
Well, Rob found two of the very best people to train us. One was Peter Diamond, who was a sword master, and the other was Bob Anderson, who was an Olympic fencer for Great Britain in the 1950s. And they choreographed all the lightsaber sequences for the Star Wars films. So we had the very best of the best, and they trained us. We did about 8 hours a day in pre-production. And then when we started shooting, they were basically just standing around on the set waiting for the director to yell cut, and they would grab myself and Mandy, and we basically never sat down for the entire shoot, really. So it was a long, long rehearsal process, but I think it turned out pretty good.
Do you still fence?
No. I know people have this image of me wandering around the house with a rapier in my hand. I don't do
that. You don't do that. Oh, what a disappointment. Well, that's okay. That's all right. I'll get over it. Cary Elwes. The movie ends with a magnificent kiss. Were you at all nervous about shooting that kiss?
Only because Robin and I had become very good friends at that point, and it was weird kissing my best friend, you know, so we giggled a lot. I think that, you know, that's why it took so many takes. I was getting rather frustrated, I think.
Yeah. Is it difficult to do kissing scenes in movies?
Generally, it's pretty strange. I mean, you have to develop a rapport with the person you're working with, obviously, and hopefully there's a chemistry there. It's always interesting. But like I said, for us it was a case of not giggling because we you know, it's weird kissing your friend.
He didn't say it. He didn't do it. Wouldn't you agree, Your Highness?
A technicality that will shortly be remedied. But first things first. To the death.
No! To the pain.
I don't think I'm quite familiar with that phrase.
I'll explain. And I'll use small words so that you'll be sure to understand, you warthog-faced buffoon.
That may be the first time in my life a man has dared insult me.
It won't be the last. To the pain means the first thing you lose will be your feet below the ankles. Then your hands at the wrists. Next, your nose.
And then my tongue, I suppose. I killed you too quickly the last time, a mistake I don't mean to duplicate tonight.
I wasn't finished. The next thing you lose will be your left eye, followed by your right.
And then my ears, I understand. Let's get on with it.
Wrong! Your ears you keep, and I'll tell you why. So that every shriek of every child at seeing your hideousness will be yours to cherish. Every babe that weeps at your approach, every woman who cries out, "Dear God, what is that thing?" will echo in your perfect ears. That is what the pain means. It means I leave you in anguish, wallowing in freakish misery forever.
I think you're bluffing.
It's possible, pig. I might be bluffing. It's conceivable, you miserable, vomitous mass. I'm only lying here because I lack the strength to stand. But then again, perhaps I have the strength after all.
Carrie Elwes, you've had experience in so many different kinds of roles. After The Princess Bride, people might think of you as a comedian, and then you did the Robin Hood movie with Mel Brooks. But you've done so many different kinds of roles. Do you, as an actor, how do you approach a role? Do you approach a comedy in the same way as a drama, or?
Well, I do. I do a lot of research for each of the roles. I get into it. Obviously it has to be all about the material and the character. I really don't focus on one genre over another. I just like to pick the roles that appeal to me and interest me and the stories that I like to tell.
Well, speaking of that, now that you've written this book, and it turns out that you're a great writer.
Thank you. I had a lot of help. I didn't do it all by myself.
Oh, that's true. Everybody in this cast contributes to the book.
Yes, and also I had a co-writer, a wonderful guy named Joe Layden.
Right. But do you think now you'll do some more writing?
The thought has crossed my mind. I've certainly been looking at that possibility. The book seems to be doing rather well, and so we're all rather happy about that.
Well, it's on the bestseller list.
Yeah, it's doing very well. We're very thrilled about that.
It's a beautiful book. It's a lovely companion to a film that's absolutely positively a classic.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind of you.
It must feel strange to be associated with a film that has lived on. I mean, so many of the things that you've done or that any actor does you know, you do them and you hope for the best and they come out and people like them or they don't like them and then they move on to the next thing. But this is a thing that's just always new. It's always there. Someone's always watching it for the first time.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. It's an oddball film, but it does have a lot of heart to it. I think that helps its longevity.
Well, it's a great book. It's called As You Wish, Inconceivable Tales from the Making of the Princess Bride, and the author and the star, my guest, Carrie Elwes. Carrie Elwes, thank you so much for spending some time with us on From the Bookshelf. I sure appreciate it.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on your show.
That's all the time we have for this week's From the Bookshelf. I hope you enjoyed the program and that you'll come back and see us again next week. In the meantime, please check out our podcast page. It's fromthebookshelf.com. You can subscribe to our podcast at iTunes, and you can like us on Facebook. I want to thank my guest, Carrie Elwes. His book on the New York Times bestseller list, it's called As You Wish, Inconceivable Tales from the Making of the Princess Bride. From the Bookshelf is produced by Francis Venegas. I'm Gary Shapiro. See you next time.